Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. Let's get you over to WEAA traffic to see what's happening on the roads and get you home safe through all this mad gridlock we're having here. Then have a conversation about why do we think there's so much crime if it's actually going down? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Support for WEAA is provided by Kohl's Department Store. Information on the Kohl's Kids Who Care Scholarship Program is available at kohlskids.com.
You want to avoid the West Side Beltway. It's just a mess this afternoon. This report is being brought to you by Centrum Silver Ultra Women's Multivitamins. If you're traveling on the outer loop before Security Boulevard, an overturned vehicle there allows only the left shoulder to get by. Very, very heavy delays. You can avoid this area if you can. It would be your best bet. You've also got lots of volume northbound 95 because of an overturned vehicle between Route 100 and 895. Police are en route to that. An accident eastbound 70 between Columbia Pike and 695 has you heavy with volume. The accident it's been cleared, but the delays remain. And now we're looking at a crash eastbound 50 at 301. Centrum Silver Ultra Women's Multivitamin, scientifically advanced and specially formulated for women over 50. I'm Charlie Max with Baltimore Area Traffic.
Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome back. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union. Offering a full range of financial services, MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community to prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Stop by one of its 7 branches or go to mecu.com for more information. We're going to talk this hour about a number of things that are built around crime and issues facing us. One, the creative look from some of our artists who are talking about the sense of danger that is in our inner cities and with our children and what we're going to do about it. But first, we're going to talk with Joe, is it Cohane?
Cohane.
God, I thought I had that right. That's good. Joe Cohane, who is a freelance writer and editor. He wrote this piece called Imaginary Fiends about the state of crime in America. And why we as Americans think so much crime is going on when maybe actually the opposite is happening. The number here is 410-319-8888. It's interesting. This has happened before. I mean, this issue has come up about crime actually going down.
Yet, sure, yeah.
But we are in where we think that it's become the bogeyman of the century.
Yeah, there's a running trend that sociologists and criminologists have noted. Ever since they started tracking this sort of thing, that people tend to be more pessimistic than is warranted when it comes to crime. So, you know, at any given point in time, whether crime is up, crime is down, people, you know, a lot of people will believe that it's going up. And, you know, that's just because there's this idea of pessimistic bias where, you know, things are always getting worse. It's basically hardwired into our brains. So you could go back to, you know, the 50s or the 60s, and people will always have a more pessimistic view of crime than they should have if they were responding to the objective facts on the ground. But what happened recently, Mark, and by recently I mean over the last 10 years or so, is that the perception of crime in this country and the actual crime have come radically decoupled. They have nothing to do with each other anymore. So we've seen historic drops in crime, especially over the last few years, while at the same time, according to this Gallup polling data that I was going from, you know, the percentage of Americans that believe it's going up keeps climbing. So most recently in 2009, 74% of Americans believed that crime had gone up over the last year, when in fact, you know, it had continued its slide from, you know, over the last 15 years or so.
So it's interesting. I'm curious. We'll get our people join us, listeners to join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. I mean, your thoughts. I mean, do you think crime is huge? And if you do so, why? And why do you? And what do you think that means? We think crime is so ragingly out of control when the stats say differently, because people feel, I think, Joe, in this world, that we're really unsafe.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they feel insecure, not emotionally insecure, but you know, the world's a pretty chaotic place right now.
But what's interesting is that this went down right after 9/11, but jumped back up. The thought that
right.
We had a lot of crime.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that the people who study this stuff, and you know, let me say first that the people who study this stuff are totally baffled by why this is happening to the extent that it's happening. But one of the explanations is that our perception of crime in America is tied to our feelings about America. So Gallup also tracks people's basically an approval rating of the country, right? So since 2002, the approval rating of America among people interviewed by Gallup has just gone through the floor. It's completely dropped, and you know, it's dropped because of the economy. It's dropped because of partisan rancor, because of all kinds of, you know, culture wars, all kinds of other stuff. But the thing that everyone points to is the lowest number of, or I guess the smallest percentage of Americans who believe that crime had gotten worse coincided with the highest percentage of satisfaction with the country, which was right after September 11th. So it's interesting, you know, right after September 11th happened, everyone came together and they felt like, you know, this has been a terrible blow that's been dealt to us, but we're stronger than this. We're Americans. We can get through it. And people had tremendous pride in the country. And when they had tremendous pride in the country, they also believed that crime had gone down, because in their heads, there's this kind of inextricable bond between how good I feel about the country I live in and how crime-ridden it actually is. And, you know, again, none of this responds to any actual objective data. It's totally emotional, which is what makes it so interesting.
We had a guest on the show who had written a book saying that one of the reasons that crime goes up in America is when people feel dislocated and not part of the system, feel like that their future is in doubt. Not unemployment, but let's say crime went up during slavery and during the time of when whites in the South, a great deal of crime was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing in the inner cities, that crime exploded when people were left behind and felt completely isolated from the rest of the world.
Right. And you know, that lines up to a certain extent. The two biggest peaks in terms of, you know, let's say murder in this country, were the 1920s and then the 1980s into 90s. So the peak that we saw in the 1980s and 90s began, that ascent began in the 1960s. So you can make that argument for the late 60s when there was this great sense of social upheaval and people were getting angry about that sort of things. And these, you know, people were hashing these issues out. At that same time, crime was going up. But at the same time, you also had tremendous movements of different demographic groups. You know, like you had white flight at that time. You had a bad economy that damaged a lot of cities and led to a lot of crime and a lot of that sort of thing.
Let's see what our listeners think. Why do you think that we have this perception crime is so huge in our world? And also, we'll talk about the social implications of thinking that. Why is it there? 410-319-8888. Joe Cohane is with us, who wrote the story Imaginary Fiends that first appeared in the Boston Globe. 410-319-8888 is number here in Kyla in Southwest. You're on the air.
Hi, it's Carla.
Carla, I'm sorry. It says Kyla on my screen. I apologize.
That's okay. I just wanted to say there's a couple of reasons why I believe that people are really, really oversensitized to, quote-unquote, the high crime rate. Part of it is because of this over-sensationalized news broadcast, be it print or broadcast, where you can't, you know, something happened, and therefore you stay tuned at 11. So
right.
You have to see what the latest crime statistic is at 11 o'clock. And the other reason to me, particularly regarding property crime, is these sensationalized, crazy burglar alarm commercials. You know the ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right, right.
You know, so so people think that, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that you don't need to protect your property, but if you watch cable news or network news, these burglar alarm commercials designed to sell these burglar alarm systems, be it whichever brand it is, makes people scared that their house is going to suddenly be broken into.
I think you have a really strong point. I mean, before I even started the show, Carla, I wrote down a couple of notes before Joe Cohane joined us, and one was the media and reality shows and the headlines in our local news, if it bleeds, it leads. And kind of pushing that the fear that we have here all the time, and that's what we always see. Now, Joe, you mentioned that in your article a bit.
Yeah, that's definitely. I mean, I can. Carla makes two good points there. I mean, one, the news media comes in for a share of blame for this sort of thing, and rightly so. There's a term for it called availability heuristics, where, you know, you're watching TV and you see a horrific crime on TV, and you get, you know, a vivid image of a crime scene, all that stuff. That tends to stick in your head because it's so vivid. And because it sticks in your head, you tend to overestimate how common that sort of thing is, you know? So if you went, you know, if you saw one of these every 3 months or something like that, or even one of them every month, some, you know, some nasty murder, some horrible crime, you would tend to think that was happening all the time just because it really sticks in your head. Whereas, you know, if it was a crime that you didn't see, you didn't have a, you know, the TV media didn't write about it, didn't show it, the papers didn't write about it, then it wouldn't stick in your head and it wouldn't lead to this perception that crime is completely out of control.
And then, as Carla was saying, I mean, if you take it the next step, is you look at the whole idea of missing children and people being kidnapped and children being kidnapped. It's one of the greatest myths we've perpetrated on anybody in our society. We started these milk cartons and missing child. Well, most of those kids are actually taken by a relative.
Sure, yeah.
Not by some stranger.
You know, a great number of people who are killed in their homes are killed by relatives as well. You know, so it's not that there's this sense of randomness out there.
Let's go back to the – Carla, thanks so much for your thoughts. They really helped a great deal. 410-319-8888. Jonathan in Annapolis, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Welcome, Jonathan. We're doing well.
You know, I think about this all the time because my wife is always saying how bad crime is. And I think there's two things that – one was just mentioned is that the media shows or depicts crime in such a vast way now as compared to years ago, that a lot of people are polarized and think that this is going on everywhere. And the second factor is, I think, that people watch an awful lot of TV shows that show a lot of crime and the perfect cure for, you know, resolving what the issue is. But the reality is that I don't think that there's quite as much as people think there is, but that's all that they see. And that's the comment I want to make.
Jonathan, thank you so much. I think you'd say the same thing, wouldn't you, Joe?
Yeah, I would say that. I mean, I don't know if I necessarily buy that fictional crime shows are giving people an inflated sense of crime, because I think people are, you know, are able to distinguish between what's real and what's not real. But the media definitely comes in for it, you know. And this has been a thing for as long as there's been media. You could go back to newspapers in the 1920s, and you know, if there's a really sensational crime, they're going to run with that for a week, you know. And for the same reason, they're going to present you with like a vivid image. It's going to stick in your head, and it's going to warp your perception of crime. But what that doesn't explain is why things have gone so completely out of hand since 2001. Because you know, we've had TV news that showed all kinds of gory, bloody things for years and years, and that hasn't necessarily gotten worse. So the question is, you know, why do a greater and greater percentage of Americans believe that crime is getting worse these days, you know, when that factor hasn't really changed that much?
You have something I'm going to posit that you wrote in your article a minute. Let me get another caller in here and then throw out one of the things you wrote about, which I think may have a lot of relevance to why we think this in our society today. 410-319-8888. Joe Cohen is our guest. He wrote a piece in the Boston Globe called Imaginary Fiends, that crime is down, but we think it's up. And we have this fear-mongering in our society, which affects social policy and more, which we're going to hit in just a moment. 410-319-8888. Robert on 695, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, welcome.
Good. There's a couple things that I think that might be a cause of this pessimistic view of crime. The one thing, you know, being that America is generally a Christian nation, not that we declare ourselves that, but as far as population goes,
mm-hmm.
that it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy that I see that in order for their beliefs to possibly be, you know, to come to fruition, they need to have that sort of apocalyptic sort of viewpoint in order for, you know, the end of times and that sort of thing to come about. And also a little bit sort of related to that is the ignorance from 9/11 that because that sort of thing hasn't happened here in our history since World War II, that such a sudden shift in fear kind of feeds into that religious aspect.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, did you look at that at all, Joe?
No, not necessarily. I think the 9/11 thing you could definitely consider because it led to kind of a destabilization and a general climate of fear in America. And what we've seen is that when people feel insecure, when they feel fearful, their brain, you know, because Americans tend to be sort of obsessed with crime more than other countries, it tends to trigger this perception that crime is up too, just because they don't feel safe, they don't feel secure in the world, and therefore, you know, there must be crime out there as well. As far as the religious stuff, I mean, I'm not sure if I buy that because, you know, if people are kind of apocalypse-minded, if people are obsessed with the apocalypse, they don't believe that it's going to be brought in on the shoulders of street thugs and car thieves and stuff like that. You know, it's going to be a giant mountain of fire or whatever they got, you know, floating around in Revelations.
I mean, one of the things you did posit, and then we'll go back to the phones here, and Donald and Dave, the next two callers up, we're going to come right to your calls, is that the changing nature and demographics of America, that people look, there's a lot of thoughts, that you touch on this, that crime is up because America is changing. America is no longer the white nation it was. although yeah. I thought it was.
And, right, yeah.
And that feeds a lot of people's fears and perceptions about crime.
Yeah, and the that other. Could be, you know, that yeah, the other is a, I mean, the other's always played a role in America, the sense that there's an outsider who's going to come in and is going to upstage us or usurp us or take our country away from us. You know, that's as old as the nation itself. So you definitely have a sense of that happening with immigrants and with just the changing demographics in America. The point that I spoke to one of the professors at Harvard, this guy Bob Sampson, who has done studies that show that people, you know, mainly white people, respond to increasing levels of diversity in the same way that they respond to physical disorder in their environment. So, you know, you've heard of broken windows theory. It basically says that if you live in a neighborhood and all of a sudden you start seeing broken windows, you start seeing graffiti, you start to feel unsafe, even if you're not responding to actual crime. There's just this general sense of disorder. Sampson at Harvard suggests that, you know, people respond to diversity the same way they respond to that. So when they live in a place that's becoming more and more diverse, or a country that's more and more diverse, they feel sort of destabilized themselves. They feel like the world is becoming slightly disordered, and then it triggers something in their heads that makes them believe that crime is getting worse, too, as a result of that sort of thing, even if the numbers don't necessarily bear that out.
Exactly. I mean, I think that, well, we'll come back to that in a minute. Let me go back to the phones here. 410-319-8888. We go to Donald and Dave. Donald, you're on the air.
Good evening. How you doing?
Well, Donald, welcome.
Okay. I'm not sure if he defined or not what particular type of crime people have the perception have went up or went down. But the perception that I have that crime has gone up, particularly corporate crime. We look at the financial crisis that took place in this country, and we saw no one basically go to jail. The Treasury was raided. The same ones who caused the criminals who caused the financial crisis were bailed out by the government and are going back to business as usual. Crime on the streets have gone up a bit. That is because of the ramifications of the financial fallout that have put more hardships on people. So, yes, crime has gone up, even though the numbers are being reported that crime has gone down. And we have to pinpoint, be specific about what crime has gone up, particularly in the inner cities. But the issue of corporate crime has not been really dealt with in this country at all.
Well, let's take those two issues you raised. I mean, one is white collar crime, which you don't really talk about so much in your article, Joe. But I mean, that how do those stats look? Do you know?
I'm going from FBI data, which is mostly like index crimes. So you'd have stuff like murder and robbery, aggravated assault, grand theft auto, all that sort of thing. And those things are down pretty steeply. For example, murder went down 10% from 2008 to 2009. I think it went down another 5% or something like that from 2009 to 2010. So what the caller was saying about how crime's actually gone up is actually untrue. All the numbers show that crime has gone down. Now, I can't speak to white-collar crime, but as far as, you know, what we conventionally think of as street crime, which is, you know, crimes against person, crimes against property, have actually gone down. And this is part of, you know, this is one big misconception when it comes to people's perceptions of crime in America, is that everyone always thinks that crime will go up when the economy goes down. And actually, historically, the opposite has been the case. Crime was very low during the Depression. Crime was very high during the Roaring Twenties. Whereas, you know, crime was, you know, this time when we had the whole economy tank on us, crime actually continued to drop, and in some ways dropped more precipitously than it was dropping in the first place. Now, there are a lot of explanations for that, but that's a hard idea to get through to people, that, you know, an economic downturn doesn't necessarily mean a rise in crime. And this is, you know, this could perhaps be why most people, you know, 74% of the people in the Gallup poll believe that crime had gotten up, because it just makes intuitive sense that when people are, you know, don't have as much money, they're going to start resorting to robbery and crime and murder and all that stuff. But, you know, it's the fact the stats just don't bear it out.
I think that there's a, again, the author we had a little bit ago, one of the things he posited was that The reason is that people, when people feel they're in a shared circumstance, that they share a burden that they're trying to get out of together, which happens a lot in communities that lose jobs as opposed to kind of feeding on themselves, they start actually helping each other. And we don't realize that that is more the human reaction than turning on one another.
Yeah, that's a good point. And 9/11 backs that up, too, where, people came together in a way they hadn't come together probably since World War II. And, you know, granted, it lasted like 3 months before we turned on each other again. But that was, that was a really nice moment where Republicans and Democrats and city people and rural people and all that believed that there was a shared sense of purpose. And though we had suffered grievously, we're going to get through this. So that's definitely, I think that's definitely a valid point to make.
Maybe if we weren't asked to go shopping, we might have come together more. Who knows?
Know. It just breaks your heart to think of how badly we squandered that.
We did. 410-319-8888. Dave, driving on Route 97. You're on the air.
How you doing?
Well, welcome.
Good. I couldn't agree less with this guy. Baltimore City has less than 600,000 people, and just 2 weeks ago the Sun paper said there were 80,000 arrests. 80,000 arrests last year. There are predators. There are predators all over the place. The only thing that keeps them from doing more is the simple fact that the rest of the people are smart enough not to be at the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't understand how he could possibly believe, what he's saying. There's 230 people murdered in Baltimore City.
But how many were murdered in the last 5 years, like year over year? Is that up?
It's down.
I don't
it's
know.
Down.
Just multiply 250 by 5,
No. I mean, has the number of murders in Baltimore fallen over the last few years? I'm asking,
Actually, no. Actually, it stayed about the same. It's really not much different than what it was. And the number of other crimes, like you say, we just adapt. People have to adapt to their lifestyle. You don't go up. Back in the 30s and 40s, in the summertime when it was hot, people would go to the parks at night. People would sleep in the parks. People weren't getting mugged or rolled or anything. This is entirely different. We have adapted our lifestyle. Unfortunately, we don't go to places. We have the fear because of this thing. You're way off base.
Well, but let's talk about that for a minute. I think what Joe Cohen was asking, though, crime has gone down. We started covering this in the 1990s. We were at 350 murders a year. And those stats have dropped. Murder has dropped in Baltimore. We still have almost 4,000 robberies, armed robberies in Baltimore, holdups, and that's very real. But I mean, the murders have gone down. But I think that there's people question the arrests often. We have 80,000 arrests. But others arrests for like urinating in the street, selling a bag of marijuana, drinking an open container, sitting on your stoop.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what I would say to Dave here is, for one thing, I'm going from national numbers, right? So I'm going from FBI figures, and I'm speaking of a national drop in crime. So it's not specific to any one place. Some places crime has actually gone up. I'm not familiar with the numbers in Baltimore, but basically, like you were saying, Mark, if murders have fallen in Baltimore, they may have gone down 10%, they may have gone down 5%. It doesn't mean that the level of violence you guys see right now is acceptable, and it doesn't mean that, we should all just, think that we've solved the problem and that's it. It just means that it's dropping, and in spite of that, people still believe it's still going up.
I think that, what we're going to talk about in the next half an hour is with a group of artists who are putting on this play about the crime and violence in inner-city neighborhoods and what's happening to young people in those neighborhoods. And I think that there's a sense in poor neighborhoods in the inner cities that there's no safety, that there's fear of crime, fear of violence, and that's very real.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, no question about it.
So when people hear that, what do you think where's the disconnect there for you?
In Baltimore is still got a pretty high crime rate compared to other places. I'm not saying, I'm just speaking in terms of the percentage by which it rises or falls year over year. So I'm not, people in Baltimore, that's still an unacceptable number of murders. I'm sure you have a lot of aggravated assaults and things like that. And people do feel unsafe. But the interesting thing is not necessarily people in, unsafe neighborhoods, but people who live in safe places who still believe that crime has gone, gone out of control nationwide.
So one of the interesting things you talk about in the few minutes we have left is the question of how this affects social policy.
Yep.
Everything from the more money we put in prisons to banning people's right to have guns.
Right.
Because
you know, the gun thing's interesting because, and I know we'll probably get some calls off of this. I've been getting a lot of letters from, you know, Second Amendment advocates and things like that. But, you know, I spoke to the way I came upon this stuff is that I was talking to a guy who owns a gun shop in New York. And I live in New York. And I was asking him how business was. He said business was great. I've never sold so many guns before. I asked him who was buying the guns, and he said a lot of professional types, like urban professional types. And I asked him why they wanted the guns, and he said because crime is completely out of control. And I was like, well, it's, you know, according to actual data, it's not. And he was just like, yeah, but they think it is, so therefore it must be, you know, which was, you know, got me thinking. And then I started calling some criminologists and feeling around in this and came upon this, you know, this particular poll that's been running for 20 years. And I just thought that was really interesting.
Joe, and this has been great to have you on the air with us. I deeply appreciate you being part of the show. Thanks for your writing. We look forward to seeing what you come up with next.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care.
Take care.
Joe Cohane, Keohane, was our guest this hour. You can link on to his story on our website, steinershow.org, and see what he's saying there. And we're going to take a different look at crime and violence in our community coming back. Rosalind Cawthon, who is a writer, an actor, director, works at Center Stage, has written the play We Are Crying Out, and this will be coming up at the Theater Project, just about this subject in our inner cities. She joins us here with two of the actors in that play, and she'll be coming in studio just shortly. You can stay tuned for that. We want you to join this conversation as we continue that conversation to talk about that and more. So don't go away. Remain with us, and we'll come right back to continue talking together.